Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of those D&B arrangement moments that really matters. The switch up, not a random fill, not a cheap riser, but a proper 4-bar pressure change that keeps the tune's identity while flipping the energy. We are doing it in Ableton Live 12 with a crunchy sampler texture, old school jungle flavor, and automation that actually feels like composition. So think dusty break fragments, a responsive bass phrase, a bit of grime, and movement across the section that feels alive. Now, when I say switch up, I mean that moment in the track where the drums and bass stop being a straight loop and start acting like a conversation. In drum and bass, that's huge, because listeners are really tracking two things, the drum momentum and the bass phrasing. If you can shift those without losing the pocket, the tune suddenly feels bigger and more intentional. We're going to place this after a main drop phrase, usually after 16 bars if you're following a classic arrangement. That gives us enough time to establish the groove before we pivot. In the session, I'd start by duplicating the loop and setting up a clean group called Switch Up, with drums, bass, and effects separated. That organization matters more than people think, especially once the automation starts getting detailed. First up, let's build the crunchy sampler texture. Take a classic break, or even a small fragment of a break, and load it into sampler on a MIDI track. If you've got a loop, you don't need to use the whole thing. In fact, a short section with a strong snare crack or a little bottom end bite is often better. We're not making a polished loop here. We want a grainy, old-school wash that still has transient detail. Set sampler up in a simple, playable way. Use a classic or one-shot style depending on your source, and filter the top end down so it doesn't sound too modern or too bright. A low pass somewhere around 8 to 12 kHz is a good starting point. Add a bit of resonance, but not so much that it whistles. Keep the amp envelope snappy enough that the hits feel chopped and intentional. Now for the character move. Pitch the sample down a little, maybe -3 to -7 semitones, and nudge the start point so every hit isn't identical. That tiny inconsistency is what gives you that human chopped feeling. Old jungle was never about perfectly repeated precision. It was about texture, strain, and motion. Here's the key idea. This switch up should feel composed through automation, not just through note choice. So now we're going to make the sampler perform across the 4 bars. Automate the filter cutoff so the section starts dark and tight, then opens up over time. You can begin fairly low, around a few hundred hertz, and gradually push it brighter until it's landing in that clearer, more present range by bar 3 or 4. Also, automate the start position a little over time. Even tiny changes here make the break feel less static. A sample that moves a little on each repeat feels alive in a way a loop never quite does. If you want a strong tension move, automate a brief pitch drop at the end of bar 2 or bar 4. Just a quick drop, not a cartoonish dive. That little collapse creates drama without killing the groove. And if the break texture starts crowding the bass or snare, dip the volume a couple of dB during the peak so the arrangement still breathes. A good mental picture for the arc is this. Bars 1 and 2 are filtered and tight. Bar 3 opens up and becomes more exposed, and bar 4 briefly collapses or dips before the next section hits. That's a proper switch-up shape. Now let's deal with the drums. We are not wiping the drum groove and replacing it with something completely unrelated. That would feel like a detour, not a switch-up. Instead, keep the identity of the rhythm, but edit it into a broken, hybrid form. You want continuity with a twist, so keep the snare on the main backbeat if that fits your track, then add chopped ghost hits around it. Remove one kick in bar 2 or bar 4 to give the groove some lift. Maybe add a quick flam, a reversed break stab, or a tiny fill that leans into the next bar. The idea is to keep the momentum recognizably D&B, while opening up just enough space for the texture to breathe. If you're shaping the break in drum rock or on audio slices, you can use EQA to clean up mud and drum bus to give it more snap. A little drive goes a long way. Keep the crunch controlled, and push the transient enough that the break feels like it's speaking. And this is where the teacher note matters. Think of the switch up as a handover of foreground attention. At any moment, only one layer should feel like the lead voice. If the break is busy, the bass should simplify. If the bass starts talking, thin out the chop density. That's how you get power without clutter. Now for the bass response phrase. This is where the switch up really becomes musical. The bass should not just keep looping. It should answer the break. That call and response relationship is classic D&B language. Use a res, growl, or mid-bass layer, and keep the sub simple. The sub should usually hold root notes or just support the floor. The movement belongs in the mid layer. If you've got a layered setup, Keep anything below roughly 120 Hz dead center with utility, and make sure the mid layer has the motion. A useful Ableton chain here would be something like Wave Editable or Operator into Saturator for harmonics, then Auto Filter for movement, then Utility, to keep the sub mono, and maybe a touch of Redux or Erosion if you want some edge. You can also high pass the mid layer so it stays out of the sub's way. Automate the bass filter opening across the section. Let it feel like it's waking up while the break gets more exposed. You can also automate Wave Editable position or a little feedback movement if you want a more neural-leaning flavor, but keep it restrained. This is old-school leaning jungle energy, so the bass should be ugly in the right way, not glossy. One of the strongest moves is to mute the bass for the last half beat before the return. That little vacuum hits hard. It gives the next section somewhere to land. Now let's add transition FX, but keep them underground. We don't want the switch up to become shiny or over-decorated. This style works best when the FX glue the section instead of dressing it up too much. So think short reverb sends, some Debye echo tails, maybe a little frequency shifter if you want metallic tension, and subtle auto pan or reverse tails for movement. A really effective move is to automate a reverb or echo send up on the last chopped hit of bar 4, then cut it off sharply as the next section arrives. That creates a dirty tail without washing out the drop. It gives you atmosphere, but it still feels like the tune is driving forward. This is also a good place to remember the difference between performance automation and cleanup automation. Performance automation is your filter moves, sample start shifts, pitch dips, and send bursts. Cleanup automation is your EQ corrections, mono control, and harshness taming. Keep those roles separate in your head and the arrangement becomes much easier to control. Now let's talk about tension and release, because this is the actual heart of the lesson. Across these four bars, automate at least three musical motions: brightness, density, and space. Brightness means the filter opens. Density means the break fragments become more active or more exposed. Bass means reverb or delay increases briefly and then snaps back. Bar 1 should feel filtered and tight. Bar 2 can start to move more, with slightly more sample motion. Bar 3 is your peak energy moment, where the break is brightest and the bass is most active. Bar 4 should strip things back just enough to leave a teaser into the next section. If you've grouped your devices into an instrument rack or audio effect rack, this is where macros become super useful. Map cutoff to one macro, start position to another, distortion drive to another, send amount to another, and maybe bass movement amount to a fifth control. That makes the section playable. You can rehearse the motion instead of just drawing curves and hoping it works. And in jungle and DNB, the rhythm of the automation matters more than the exact curve shape. Quick ramps, step jumps, and short dips often sound more musical than long smooth sweeps. If the switch up feels too polite, break the predictability a little. Offset a trigger, dip a hit, nudge a start point. Those tiny imperfections create life. Now let's tighten the mix, because a switch up should feel louder even when the meters aren't necessarily jumping. Check that the sub is mono. Make sure the low mid area around 200 to 500 Hz isn't building up into mud. If the crunchy sampler gets too fizzy, tame the area around 2.5 to 6 kHz. Use EQA to carve space, and put a light glue compressor on the drum bus if it needs cohesion. You're only looking for a couple of dB of gain reduction, not heavy squashing. Also, check the section in mono and at a low volume. If the groove still reads there, you've got a strong arrangement move. That's a really good test for this style. For a more advanced variation, you can make the switch up into a two-layer break contradiction. One break layer can stay filtered and tight while another is crushed and brighter, and you can automate them to trade prominence across the bars. That creates a really nice old-school tension, because the texture feels like it's evolving in layers rather than just opening up. You can also try a halftime illusion flip. Keep the drums in one pocket, but let the bass phrase answer in a halftime cadence for the last two bars. That gives you a fake breakdown feeling while still keeping momentum alive. Another strong trick is the ghost stop. On the last half beat before the drop comes back, cut everything except a tiny room tail or a chopped snare breath. In DNB, that tiny vacuum can hit harder than a huge riser. Once the switch up works, I really recommend resampling it. Print the four bars to audio, then chop and edit the result like a producer, not just a MIDI programmer. That often gives you more weight and commitment than endlessly tweaking the original clips. So let's recap the shape. We start with a crunchy sampled break and sampler, filtered and pitched for old school grit. We automate the start point and filter so the texture feels like it's moving. We build a broken drum edit that stays connected to the main groove. We add a bass sensor phrase that reacts to the break and keeps the sub controlled. We use gritty effects lightly, and we shape the whole thing with automation so the section rises, peaks, and releases across four bars. The big takeaway is this. A great DNB switch up is not just a variation in sound. It's a variation in phrasing, density, and impact. It should feel like the track is performing.